When the music starts to change like this, don't try and get something from the outside and bring it in. All conference, I've been talking to you about taking what you have and putting it into the atmosphere. When the music starts to change and a pattern starts to come in out of the kingdom realm like this, what you have to do is engage your spirit with a pattern that is already established in the spirit world that we can ride on and work on with the Holy Spirit. And so when the stuff starts to move like this, don't try and, oh, this is going to make me feel good. That's when you're supposed to even go harder with what you have to put it into the atmosphere to make a fragrance so that He can rest upon it. Because this is where worship starts. This is the beginning point of worship. The rest has just been kind of getting you there so you can actually begin to worship. And so when music starts to play like this, you need to actively set your spirit man out of desire to take what I have and fill the atmosphere with who I am and what God wants me so that it can become a fragrance for Him to sit upon. Because the Bible says that He dwells in the praises of His people. And out of the place of worship and abandonment to Him, you can then go into a deeper place because then He can begin to lead you. And I don't want to lose what's happening here just because we've reached the cap of our existence. Actually, this is the beginning. And so to me, this is where we need to start from. And so as Joanne leads, begin to take what you have and begin to engage the supernatural world with what you have to give God something to work with. Don't try and take out of it and take away from what He's trying to work with. If you're not putting it into the atmosphere, then actually you shouldn't even be here. Because it's not about immature people. This is a mature people, a group of people trying to come together to take the kingdom with storm. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violent take it by force. So the forceful ones enforce the dominion of the kingdom by who they are, establishing the boundary of the kingdom realm here in the earth. And so let's engage with that. Lord, I take what I have and I push it into the atmosphere to give you something to work with. I abandon myself to your presence in the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven, that the glory would come upon it, that I would be a fragrance in your sight and a smell pleasing to your nostrils. Father, I take my spirit man and I release it into the kingdom realm, that I would engage the kingdom. Father, on that, the wind of the glory would rest upon, that it would blow through this gate into the face of the earth, through the everlasting door and the gate you have made me according to your word, that I am a gate. Father, through this gate would come the wind of God. Lord, I take my spirit and I become a gate for your presence to flow through today. Hallelujah. If you've never seen Trading Done before, I'm not going to go into the whole teaching of it, but it talks about Abraham who, when he went to sacrifice Isaac, that a little bit later on talks about how Isaac and Jacob were actually present with Abraham when he was going to sacrifice Isaac. And because Jacob could, because Abraham could see Isaac and Jacob on the line, down the line, he knew that he would live regardless of what he did. And so what he did was he believed God that when he traded his son, and he was willing to trade his son, that there would still remain a nation, a great nation coming out of him, because he could see down the line. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have a religious bone in your body tonight, I'm going to wreck it. One of the things that I love is that the truth you lived on has been good for a season. But God is unlocking scrolls of destiny that He's written about you and I today to fulfill that no one knew about until today. There's things that God is unlocking, truths that are coming out, not only in the scientific world, but from His Word, things that have been set aside for our day. These are some of the things that have been locked up in the scrolls that Daniel saw, that Isaiah saw. Some of these men of old that saw these things, that the Word was sealed for our time. And Joe, you know, she does this thing, and there's this guy that wrestled with God, and part of the process of what God said to him was that, I've saved the best of all that is in humankind for this day. And so you're the best of your line. You're the best that of the representation of your line as you today. Whether you like it or don't believe it or what, that's your problem. But I'm telling you, you're the best of your line today. God's reserved it for this day. We are living in the day of the Lord. And He is arising on His people. And when He does come and manifest Himself in us. I don't believe in Skybus theory, which is rapture. I don't believe in it. I believe in resurrection.
And I know there's coming a day when he's going to reveal us to the world as the sons of God. And I want to be part of that first resurrection. There's two clear resurrections in the Bible. I'm not going to teach about that. But there's two clear resurrections. And when that first resurrection happens, I want to be right there. I want to be partaker of that resurrection. Because out of the desire that's birthed inside of you, your hunger and your yearning after his presence, that manifestation will occur inside your life. And in that day, you will be changed. And you will have a body like Jesus had on that mountain, pure white, covered with a garment that's on the outside that you're able to move in and out of the kingdom realm, into all the galaxies, do whatever you need to do, and into heaven, and then out of heaven and back again. Being able to eat, but be there. Be able to participate there and here at the same time. Change everything. Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like to change the DNA of a tree? Take it back to what it should have been? We've got to restore the earth. Praise God. Well, I hope that wrecks some of your theories. It's all cool. You know, it's what I believe. If my belief is different than yours, hallelujah. It's no, not my issue. I just know where I'm going, and I'm on a journey, and you're on a journey as well. And praise God, somewhere along the line we'll meet. And in the day, then God will say, well, there it is there. If I'm wrong, hallelujah. You're right, praise God. If I'm right, praise God, and you're wrong, well, hallelujah. Either way, for me, I'm still going to be in glory, so I don't really care. My issue is how am I walking with God today? And what am I doing about what I have and what God's given me today? What I'm impacting around me and what God's given me to do today? Am I doing the will of God today? Am I fulfilling his mandate in my life, or am I doing a religious system trying to fulfill my desire or another man's desire in my life? The issue is, what are you doing with God today? How are you walking with the presence of God today? What are you doing in relationship with him today? How are you engaging him today? What are you doing about what God's given you inside your life? What are you doing about it? When was the last time you cast out a demon? When was the last time you healed the sick? If you haven't cast out a demon, you're an unbeliever. I'm not saying you're not saved. You just don't believe in the miracle signs and wonders that God says will be in our day. Because as these signs will follow them that believe in my name, they will cast out demons. They will heal the sick. They will bind the brokenhearted. When was the last time you did that? You'll be responsible for what you haven't done. And so you need to just understand that this might be a hard word for you, but I'm sorry, that's the way it is. There are two books that are going to be opened up in that day. One is the book of life. The other is a book of your works, the things that you've done to fulfill the purpose and desire of God for your life, and on the scroll that he wrote for you, not what you've done, but what did he write? Have you done that? And that's why we need to find that scroll. We need to desire to engage him so we can understand my purpose, why I am here on this earth today. One of my purposes for being here is to display him, to display what he is, who he is, in today's society, in the earth today, not when I die. The things that are written in the Word for me aren't for when I die. I don't believe they are. That's my belief. Those things that are written in the Bible are for me today. For me to be able to walk in them today, to experience them today, to walk in the government of those things today, to experience the full flow of that manifestation of His presence today, living in the reality of His kingdom today, out of His kingdom today, in His kingdom today. It's all about today. Not about when you die. If it's about when you die, then you might as well go home now. You might as well lie in your bed and wait for Jesus to come. In some ways, he'll come. Usually with a big stick. Praise you, Jesus. You know, Einstein was an amazing man. A man who uncovered some truths and tried to bring those truths to the earth and reveal them in some scientific capacity that would enable the general community to come into a truth. Because he knew that there was something better than the speed of light. And so he did his whole thesis on the speed of light and went through the process of understanding the speed of light. And he came to a point where he made some of these statements, and that it's called Einstein's theory of relativity. And it says this, that if you could move at the speed of light, you'd live forever. And if matter traveled at the speed of light, it would cease to exist. There's some statements that he made. It's called Einstein's theory of relativity. They're just statements that the scientific community believe without actually never seeing it. And they have trouble with us believing that Jesus came and died for me to redeem me from my sin, and they expect me to believe that. And yet the world's bought it because it doesn't have anything to do with God in it, or so they think. The greatest issue is God is light. And so light is an amazing thing. It moves at 187,272 miles per second. What that means is this, that if I was to shoot a gun, bang, by the time I've taken off my finger, off the trigger, the bullet has traveled past me twice around the circumference of the earth. It gives you an idea of how fast it moves. We have a problem because moving at the speed of light, we think one light year, that's 365 days of the year times 24 times 60 times 60. That's traveling something like 175,497,000,000,000 miles in 1 year. That's not even the beginning of God's measurement yet. Considering that our galaxy is 180,000 light years across. That's just our galaxy. There's a galaxy that is 400,000 light years across. The gap between those galaxies ranges anything from 50,000 to 430 billion light years, the gap between the galaxies. So about now, I hope that your brain is going, and here is God of the universe, all of this, interested in how many hairs have fallen out of your head. For those who have a few left, like me, praise God. He's counting them, baby. And so what I'm trying to get you to understand is that the time and space and confinements of what we live in are so limited compared to the scale of God. I would say God's scale for 1 millimeter maybe start at 100,000 light years. So just to, you know, and so that's just at the speed of light that we know. And so I just want to read out of Genesis here for a minute because I love Genesis. I got stuck in Genesis for 6 months and couldn't get my nose out of it. It was amazing. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Well, God never creates something without form and void, so something really happened there, so whatever that is. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness is not the dark that God made, it's black. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, or hovered upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. An amazing series of circumstances. Here is the King of Glory coming to a ball of ice, vibrating over it, brooding, hovering. The Bible, the word for brooding or hovering can also mean vibrating. Light is a wavelength and a particle wave. When you measure light, it vibrates. So here is the God, the being of all light, vibrating over the face of the earth. Now you know when you get something that is of a greater force vibrating with something that is of a lesser force vibrating, eventually they begin to harmonize and the lesser begins to harmonize with the greater. And so here now is God vibrating over the face of the earth, calling the remembrance of what was before it came into darkness back into light. And calling it into remembrance so that what was there would once again begin to come into who He was. And here is God, the moment it gets to that pitched radiance and vibration, everything comes into harmony. He goes, let there be light. The greatest thing is the light didn't only come around the earth. It came around everything that was in that little globe. Talked about this morning. Proverbs 6, 7, and 8. God set His compass, that blob that has all the galaxies in it. Everything came into light. There was light in the whole thing. And then God did an amazing thing. Let's read on. And then God said, let the firmament be, and blah, blah, and let the night and day and the evening be the first of the day, and the light of God from, and about verse 8. And God killed the, that's in the NIV, by the way. The New Ian version, hallelujah. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth and gathered together the waters and called the seas. And God saw it was good. God caused to bring forth all these wonderful things. And then in verse 14, God said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. God's really interested in the stars, by the way. And let them be for lights in the firmament. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Oh, my goodness, can we talk about stars in church? I think so, considering he made them and holds them there. The problem is what's defining them now. It wasn't there originally. It's our job to deal with that stuff too. It's all good. And so here in the very first number of days, God says, let there be light. And then a time passes. Now, a day, according to the Hebrew, can be a dispensation of time, not a day. We, through the Greek, have said it's a day. So we fitted everything into 7 days, and so that's all good. But according to a Hebrew understanding, a day is a time or a period of dispensation that could last from 2 seconds to 465,3,473,000 years. I mean, whatever you want to name it. It's just a dispensation of time. And so time passed. And then God said, okay, what we are going to do now, dudes, is we are going to set in place this thing called the sun. Boom. This is after he said, let there be light. He's called it a lesser light. Okay, he called it a lesser light. Okay, a greater one to rule the day and a lesser one to rule the night, but they're lesser lights than the thing that was there because he wanted that to shine on the earth. And so now we have a problem because everything in science tells me the speed of light comes from the sun. Now, if the speed of light that comes from the sun is less, then I wonder how fast the speed of light is that he created. Now, I have a major theoretical problem because every scientific fact hinges that the speed of light is constant. Well, they've proved over the last 100 years that actually the speed of light is still slowing down. Now, I even have a greater problem because all my theories and all my physics and all my mathematics is based on the speed of light. You know, the fancy little equation they have in physics called E equals mc squared. You know, energy equals mass times the speed of light, you know, makes mass. So the speed of light and energy can make mass. Now, I wonder if he's talking about the speed of light of the sun or another speed of light. I'm sure he's not talking about created light. So what we have is we have creative light, when he said, let there be light, creative light. Then he has created light when he put the sun and the moon in place. And we live under created light, not creative light. And here is the biggest problem now, because actually I'm called to live under creative light and not exist under created light. Big problem, isn't it? And so here, Jesus comes into the earth, and he kind of makes these statements. And I want to read some of these scriptures to you, because like, oh my goodness, if I only realized what kind of speed of light he's talking about, the whole theories about everything that's around me would change. It says this, for God, who commanded the light to shine into darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now let's just say that the darkness he's talking about isn't the darkness we consider darkness, but actually the darkness of a lesser light. And so therefore I'm living in the congealed, manipulative controls of a lesser light, and Jesus saying there is a greater light for me to walk in. Am I wrecking your guys' brains? Some of you seem to be fried about now, which is really good. There's another scripture in Ephesians 5:14. It says, "Awake, O you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give the light." Give you light. So is he saying, like, that I've got to raise from the dead? What dead is he talking about? Is it being in the darkness or the atmosphere of something that actually isn't what it should be? God is calling me to live in something greater, not something less. I don't want to live in created light. I want to live in creative light. Jesus has given me the capacity to live in creative light. That's why he came. That's what Adam was before the fall. Adam was creative light. That's what was around him. So here we have problems now, because everything that exists in the world is a vibration and a force field. And what this is an interference in the light speed. This is a vibration that creates an interference in the light speed that moves at 172,000, whatever it is, 600 and something miles per second. I've written it down here. There are 187,272 miles per second. This is an interference in that light speed, and it looks solid. And it's solid to me because I also move in my body in this light speed. Therefore, it's solid to me. Do you realize that scientists have proven that you are 99.9% empty space, and that you are flicking in and out of phase 400 million times a second? You are flicking out of phase 400 million times a second. So actually, you're not really there, but you are there. So if you want to learn how to be a wasn't, you've got to get in phase with what isn't in phase. Do you want me to say that for you again? If I'm flicking in and out of phase 400 million times a second, and I'm living in this light, what is the other phase? What am I flicking? If I'm flicking out of this, I've got to be flicking into something. And if I'm engaged in this and I'm living out of this, then I'm living out of this reality. And in fact, the reality is I should be living here. And what I'm not in sync with. Man, if you've got a religious bone in your body, about now you are squirming and manifesting, and it's good. Because we've lived under this rubbish for so long, we've got to break the pattern so we can realize who we are. I'm a creative being. You and I are creative beings. We've got to grow things, not make them. We have to make them because we live in this world. Now, here's the greatest news I've got for you. If this isn't real and I get engaged with the other thing that I'm out of phase with, this won't exist to me anymore. Therefore, I can walk through it. So the reality is there is no spoon. For those folks who have watched Men in Black or whatever it is, Matrix, there is no spoon. Some of you are really getting this. Some of you are really, you're really struggling with this. This is good, man. Hallelujah. So here is Jesus. Here is God actually saying, hey, I'm the God of light. Creative light. Out of me flows all life, all light. And I'll put something in the atmosphere so you can actually live in a different vibration. That's all you are. Actually, by the way, you're a vibration. You know, if you think I'm using the cold worlds, well, I'm just taking the map, because that's what you are. Your DNA vibrates. That vibration creates an interference in the speed of light that moves at 197,272 miles per second, and it forms your body. It makes you a solid object. Isn't that great? So you're all going around going, no, not really. But the reality is that actually, Jesus has transferred me out of this kingdom and put me into another kingdom. He's transferred me out of the reality of this world and the confinements of time and space in this world and translated me into this kingdom that does not exist in this world. My problem is the record of my DNA says this is my world. The vibration of my DNA that you've carried all the way through your generation line that dictates the way you behave today says this is your world. And you believe it because this is your world. But actually, I'm believing a lie because this is not my world. I'm only a sojourner here and my real world is in Him. In a different light. In a different atmosphere. In a different kingdom. I'm no longer in the kingdom of this world. I'm in the kingdom of God. And therefore, I've got to get out of phase with the kingdom of this world, become a son of the kingdom of the light of God. And if I'm come out of phase with this here, it means I'm going to be able to exist here, but I can choose which phase I live in. And so the wrestling starts now. What do I believe? Do I believe that Jesus gave me light to walk in His light? And if I walk in His light, then I have fellowship one with another. And then His blood will cleanse me if I walk in His light. He's not talking about that funny stuff that flinks in the sky and the speed of that. He's talking about this light. Because when I'm in this light, I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. And I'm pure. Because the only way I can get into this light is through the blood and the cross. Yet we live in this life. And we think this is all our lot for life. Well, actually, when you die, you're going to live for eternity. This is about 80 to 120 years of something that exists. You can put it, how many noughts? 1 to 10 to the power of 465 million. That's how many years it's existed for. That's what was. Then you have the is that we live in. Then you have the what is to come, which we've got to live in. And what was and is going to make what is to come. So God is looking for divine order in the is. We live in the dispensation of the Messiah in what is. We live in this atmosphere of what is now. Adam stuffed it up. Sorry, can I say that here? Adam messed it up. Adam made a dunghill of it. He did. He gave it away. He gave His right away. Jesus came to redeem us, to give us that right back. But the problem is we don't realize our inheritance. And the enemy has got us so buffaloed, believing and thinking the way it is here, that that's the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. I'm sorry, but actually that's living under a lie. Because that is not the way it has to be. You choose to live here because of what you believe. Some of you kids are enjoying this good stuff, eh? I can see you be buzzing over that for weeks. You're going along, light, light. I did for ages. When the Lord began to download the stuff about walking in the kingdom of light, and what that kingdom really meant, to be a son of light and to come into this kingdom of darkness or the shadow and then into the kingdom that is in darkness in that light, the difference that it's going to make to your life and also to the world that's around you, because you will change everything. Have you ever wondered what it's going to be like? You know, Jesus experienced all this stuff. Did you realize that? You know, in the Gospels, there's some amazing testimonies of stuff about what Jesus did. You know, He was in the temple. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, and the Lord told you they're sad because they couldn't see, and I mean all that stuff. And so you have these guys, and they say to Jesus, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus goes, "I am." Well, actually, He didn't say, "I am." He actually said the name of God, and that's why they were so furious with Him, because you can't say the name of God outside of the Holy of Holies, because it creates an arc of light. That's why it was called an ARC, not an ARK, because the two wings of the cherub created an ark, and through that glory came the manifestation of His presence. Anyway, that's another whole teaching. And so, here is Jesus saying this, "Hey, I am." It says this, that they got furious and mad. They rent their clothes. They picked up stones to stone Him. That's what the Bible says. Has anybody ever been in front of a crowd of crazy Jews that want to stone you? I've seen it. And like, it's ballistic. And they will, you know, you watch it on TV. It's like, "Ah, kill." Well, it says this about Jesus. Jesus withdrew Himself. He hid in the temple. And He passed right by them. And they did by no means see Him. I really hope that that is frying your brains. It means that Jesus withdrew himself in the temple, in the place of his engagement with his Father, came into phase with that, got out of phase with this world so they couldn't see him anymore. See you later, boys. That's what it says. I'm just telling you the gospel. There's another one. I'll give you another good story. Jesus did. Actually, when he was alive on the face of the earth in the form of a man. The same as you and I are alive on the face of earth in the form of a man. And we have him living in us, which is the same vibration he carried, which means I can get in sync with him. When I'm in sync with him, I can do anything that he did. And greater. I don't know. I can't really consider making a universe greater. But creating a universe. Now that would be fun. And it is fun. And so here, another story from the gospel. Here we have Jesus preaching the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. 5,000 angry people take Jesus up to the top of the cliff. And then we're going to cast Jesus. I'm just telling you the gospel. This is what the Bible says. Going to cast Jesus off the cliff. It says Jesus walked through them and they could by no means touch him. Now, it doesn't mean they made a nice pathway through the angry mob of 5,000 people for Jesus to walk through. He walked through them. Sorry, holy spit. Through them. Through them. Not between them. Not around them. Through them. Have you ever wondered what it's going to be like to walk through somebody? I have. I've spent many hours and days contemplating that little sucker. Can you imagine why the next time he went there, they met him at the gate and said, "You're the Lord, you're the Lord." I'm not just looking for miracles now. I'm looking for signs and wonders. I'm looking forward to when I want to go over there, I walk through the seat. Why? Because I've learned how to get out of phase with this reality and in phase with the true reality of who I am and what I am in that kingdom and live in that kingdom. Praise God, I've got a group of people that believe me. See, God is wanting us to come into the reality of who we have been made to be. We have been made to be sons of light. When you're light, you don't cover the light with it. Jesus, don't stick your light in a bush. Why? Because usually you'll make the bush get a light itself and burn the bush. What a waste of a bush. If you realize the candle that is inside of you, and you would get so afraid of your body frying, you'll want to become one with a candle. Duh. I mean, that's reality. The glory of who God is on his throne, outside of his throne, the omniscience, omnipresent, and omnipotent God lives in you. That's the candle of God living inside of you. The fullness of that is revealed in you. You just got to get in phase with it. See, here's my problem now. Because I'm living out of this. I know, you know, one day I was in this place and I had this old guy who was blind and he was training these guys how to do stuff. And when I was trying to figure out how to put my hand through stuff, you know, I've got to understand these things. If Jesus is going to walk through walls, I've got to understand how I can do it so I can do what he did. And great, I want to do better than what he did. So when he comes, I'm already walking through walls and I can watch through this around here and watch him come and come to these people who haven't walked there, say, "He's coming, get ready," come back here and watch him turn up. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I want to be like the watchman that said, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." The reason I can say that is because he's already seen it and fully participated in it. I don't want to be a five wise or five foolish virgin. That's out of court stuff. I want to be in the Holy of Holies with my face pressed into the glory going, "Wow, look at your dad go, go." Forgotten what I was talking about. Oh, thank you. And so I was in this school, this guy kept on walking up to me, this old blind man and white, you know, blue, and he says, "It's the way you think." And again, "It's the way I think." "What are you, nuts? It's the way I think. Of course I think like this. Who do you think you are to tell me it's the way I think?" And you go and do some stuff, you come back and say, "It's the way you think." And I got mad after all. I said, "What do you mean it's the way I think?" He said, "Oh, come with me." And when you ask a question, eventually you can get an answer. I was just trying to cogitate in my own brain. So once you ask the question, then you can get an answer. So I finally said, "What do you mean the way I think?" And so he leads me up to this group of people and he blindfolds them. And what you're going to understand is there's a cliff there. And he leads me to the edge of the cliff and look over the cliff and it's about 500 or 600 feet straight down. I'm going, "Oh, that's wonderful. What am I expected to do here?" He says, "It's the way you think." So he comes back and he gets one of his guys. He stands and blindfolds him. He says to him, "I want you to pick the stone up. I want you to walk along the edge of the cliff. I want you to put the stone down and walk back to me here." Blindfolded. I'm going, "This is a cult." But it can't be because I know I'm in the spirit in heaven. I know who he is and I've seen him before. And so your mind still tries to take over the stuff because it's the way you think. And so this guy picks the stone up, gets to the edge of the cliff, feels the edge of the cliff, walks along the edge of the cliff, steps back, puts the stone down. Now here's the problem. He's standing in the middle of the air. I'm going, but nothing happens. I'm waiting for him. And he walks in the middle of the air, blindfolded, about there, steps back, comes over here, and then takes his blindfold off. And I'm looking at this now going, what's my problem? He should have fallen. He hasn't fallen. He looks at me and he goes, "It's the way you think. The problem is the way you think. Because you've been taught you're going to fall. You know you're going to fall because you live in this. But when you live in something else, you're taught you'll never fall." And so I'm sitting there going, "Oh my Lord." So now I stand on the edge of my swimming pools. Hallelujah, Father. I practice every day. I go to my spa pools at the end of my day that are 38 and a half degrees Celsius. And I put my foot out. Every time I take a step, I'm expecting to walk across the water because I'm practicing now. Jesus can walk on water. He gets out of phase with this reality, in phase with another true reality. And the nature of this reality has no more ties on his life and body. Therefore, he can supersede it. If Jesus did it, I'm a son. I can supersede it. The way is to practice the way you think. So I'm practicing every day. I take a step in the water, and I'm expecting to have a solid ground underneath it. Actually, there's not going to be any ground there because I'll be walking in a different phase, out of phase with this. And so he tests you on the head and says, "It's the way you think." You're going to understand about this time, my brain's going, trying to rewire my transistors to make me think a different way. And so I've been practicing, you know, "Father, your word says, if I'm out of phase with this, then this doesn't exist, therefore I can put my hand through the pulpit." And I've been practicing. "Well, Lord, thank you, Father, by faith, I engage the kingdom and I put my hand through this because it doesn't affect me because I'm in phase with the light of your glory and I live out of that kingdom." It's out of their mouth. It comes a confession of the desire of your heart. And so he said to me, "It's the way you think." And he said to me, he sat me down on the grass and there was this rock and there was this rock. And he picked one of these rocks up, and it was solid. And he said, "Yeah, you know, put your finger on this." I said, "Yeah, right, that's a rock." He says, "No, it's the way you think." So I said, "Really?" I took the rock, bang, bang. You see, it hurts my finger, like, it's there, it's real. He says, "No, it's the way you think." Put the rock down. He says, "Put your finger on that rock." "Oh, no problem, it's mud. Put my finger on that rock." The problem was, he picked it up, and it was a solid rock. He said to me, "It's the way you think. The problem is, it's the way you think. Because you believe you'd never enter it, you can't. That's how the kingdom is. If you believe you can never enter it, you can't. That's how entering and walking into his light is. If you believe you can't do it, you never will. So I've got to change my belief systems. I've got to change the way I think. And if I think differently, then I'll walk differently, I'll behave differently, and I will be different. They already call me weird. Hallelujah, they ain't seen nothing yet, baby. God wants us to live in a reality that goes beyond the superficial thing we live in called this atmosphere and this realm of the earth. God wants us to live outside of this, but like Adam, be able to fully participate in it. To bring the kingdom out of the realm of the light of God, the creative light of God, into this creative arena and change this creative arena so it begins to reflect it. I want to know what it's going to be in that day when we'll be in that city and we will need no more sun and moon because He will be my light. He will be in everything. Why? Because I'm already one with that light. But it's according to your desire. Isn't it amazing? You and I are about 77% water from what I understand. The rest is kind of mush and made up of all kind of chemical formulas. Mostly gas, actually. Nitrogen, oxygen. All the good things that make up the foundation and the building blocks. Hydrogen. All the good things that really make good burning substances. That's why we're going to be a living sacrifice. Anybody ever seen a living sacrifice before? Oh, praise God. Well, you must be like me. I've never seen a living sacrifice because Jesus' sacrifice is dead. And so you've got to die to this world to become a living sacrifice here in His image, burning with fire. Of the realm of the revelation of the knowledge of who He is in His light here, you've got to die to this world. And everything that is associated with it, you've got to live out of the kingdom, the realm of heaven, and live in this world to change the atmosphere of everything you go into and everything, everywhere you go. Now, I'm not there yet, but oh my goodness, I'm practicing. I'm looking forward to the day it's going to live in reality. I'm looking forward to the day I'll raise my hands, and the higher I lift my hands, the higher I'm going to come off the ground. Why? Because I'm engaged in a different line. Now, you've got to understand, wavelengths are really interesting things. We have this religious demon that sits in the Word and actually teaches us stuff through the Greek and the things that we've believed actually aren't real, but they are sort of real, but they're not because we've believed something that isn't really there. And the biggest problem is the way I think. And so, we have these kind of things. You know, the interference of the speed of light is amazing because you get, if I was to get two waves, and a very still puddle of water, and tap it here and tap it here, what would happen in the middle when they eventually begin to meet, would you get this massive wave formation, and what looked nice and clear would, and a single nice movement would become all mottled and kind of, and the more you do it, the more it gets and more interference starts to happen, and eventually you get this wave pattern, there's no distinction, and it kind of looks dark. If you were to examine it in its truth, it kind of looks dark. And so, here we have this teaching about Jesus hanging on the cross and it began to get dark. And the teaching is that all the demons of this earth got around Jesus to try and kill Him when He's on the cross. They couldn't kill Him while He wasn't on the cross. They couldn't kill Him anyway. Here is the reality. My Father, who is a being of creative light, steps into the arena of created light. Two different light speeds start to collide. And suddenly you have a darkness that starts to form. Here in Psalms you have, the Word says this, that I hide myself in thick darkness. I surround myself in clouds of darkness. It's not actually meaning black as demonic. It's actually meaning who He is and the light of who He is. Interfering in this atmosphere creates an atmosphere of darkness so you don't die when He turns up. See, here was the Father turning up around His Son, waiting to receive Him. At one point, He had to turn His back on His Son. The moment that was finished, the moment Jesus said, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit, Jesus chose the day, the hour, the second He was going to die. Jesus chose to give Himself up. He chose the hour He would die. When everything was ready, Him and the Father had this agreement. You turn your back, I go, and then I'm in your hands. Because once I'm in your hands, I'm going right down to that down there, and I'm going to disturb all that down there. I'm going to take His incisor teeth out. I'm going to take His keys, And I'm going to bring them all the way back up. And actually, when I come back up, I'm going to bring all those that have been dead before me. And in fact, they're going to walk on the streets of Jerusalem in the resurrected bodies. Have you ever wondered what it was like to be in Jerusalem on the day that those men walked around? Oh, look, there goes Elijah. Oh, look, there goes Moses. Oh, look, there goes Abby, baby. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to have those men come and tell you about the kingdom? What a disturbance there was. It's amazing how much of a cover-up there was for that alone by the Roman army. And how many of them got saved through it? If I try to stab someone in a resurrected body, it kind of doesn't work. That's why they couldn't kill Jesus and touch him, because he was in a resurrected body on the earth. Not in the likeness of the light yet, but in a resurrected body. If Jesus can do it, Jesus has given us the power to walk in the fullness of what he walked in the face of the earth today. If I can do what he did, not only can I do what he did, but the Bible says, Jesus said, greater works will you do than what I've done, because I go to my Father and I'm seeing the Holy Ghost. And when he gets around you, he's going to so change you, you're going to look like me, you're going to be like me. In fact, you're going to be like my Father who's greater than me. Because you've got his DNA. I wonder what it's like going to be, have a face that's going to move. Lion, ox, eagle, with a body like fine matted diamonds, blue, moving with fire and all the colors of the rainbow. When you move, everything moves around you. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. And then you can go where you like. And any demonic spirit will back off. Why? Because the sun's turned up. That's what it's waiting for. You know, it's amazing. The Bible says this in John 6:53, the life is in the blood. It's amazing, isn't it? The life is in the blood. He makes these amazing statements, and now scientists have just come up with this massive, amazing revelation. And you can find it on YouTube and on the web when you go into scientific journals. Blood just may be congealed light. Wow. I could have told them that many years ago. Have you ever wondered what it looks like, the human circulatory system looks like without a body? It looks like a tree. And so the Bible calls us trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So our blood is going to change. And it will only change when you understand the resonance that he gave us. And we'll be talking about that tomorrow night. What he gave us gives us power to become like him. To carry all that he is, to transform this into what it should have been before the fall. And to live out of that existence today. I'm not there yet, but I'm practicing. And so here we have this tree. And, you know, this tree is supposed to feed and bring the life of the kingdom. We are supposed to be trees of righteousness. We're supposed to be trees of life. Hope deferred that makes a heart sick, but when it has come, becomes a tree of life to them that believe it. We're made to be trees of life. A doorway of the manifestation of the realm of the kingdom of God in heaven on the face of the earth in Christ Jesus, in the anointing of the Son. So whenever you read the Bible, you find Christ Jesus. Don't just read it as the person Jesus. It's about the anointing of the Son. Jesus Christ the Lord is about the sonship through the anointing, which leads to lordship. Jesus Christ the Lord. Just got to read Scripture differently. It'll change the way you see the Bible. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is lordship through the Son's anointing. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. It's another good teaching, another one, you know, one of those things that's out there somewhere. Hallelujah. I've just about finished. Actually, I need to finish. It's 20 past 9. The blood carries the record of a different DNA, and I'll talk about this tomorrow. The interesting thing, you know, in Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel, in America, they think I'm saying it's Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I don't know how they get that. But anyway, so you Americans, you just get the translation there. Just pray in tongues, you'll get it, I have no doubt. In Ezekiel 37, the Bible says that God, you know, have you ever wondered what it would be like for God to go, hoi, and pull you into the spirit world? He says God reached in and grabbed a lock of his hand, pulled him into the kingdom and sent him, now to Jeremiah actually, grabbed him by a lock of his hand, pulled him in the realm of the spirit, body, soul, and spirit. Let me tell you, it's a great experience. That's why I got no hair left. He pulled so hard it all came out. I was going, no, no, I've been here for years, I'll stay here. Thank you. No, not really. Just trying to make it a bit lighter so you get kind of some of the congealed blood in your brain able to run again. Ezekiel spoke to the bones. Very important, because the bones carry the record and the capacity to reproduce itself in the blood. It carries that's where your blood's made. The white stuff is made, and the good stuff is made in the marrow of your bones. And so that's where the record starts, is in your bones. So you want to change your life, you've got to start with your bones. You begin to speak to your bones. Bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live. Ow, I feel good. Da, 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 da. Anyway, we need to finish. Praise the Lord. I think I've kind of said enough to make you think for the rest of the night, and we'll meet again tomorrow morning. For those that are left and want to come back, that's good. But I'd really encourage you to actually get hold of some of this stuff, because this is a reality God wants us to come into. If your Christian life is boring, then shame on you, because you've made it boring. If you're living day to day, going to church every Sunday, hoping the church is going to fix your issues, shame on you. Actually, you're the one that's got to fix them, because they're your responsibility, no one else's. You've got to carry the weight of the cross on your own life. You know, outside of the cross and the blood of Jesus, there's no way into the kingdom realm. You've got to have the, and I haven't even gone there to talk about those things yet, but they've got to be real. They've got to be very real in your life. We'll talk about how to use the blood tomorrow as a weapon to clean your life up with. But some of these things have got to be real to us. They've got to actually be real. The cross has got to be real to you, because you can't enter into his light unless you go through the cross. Not stand this side of it and leave things there, but actually go through it into the resurrection that's on the other side. God wants us to walk through that experience, so we begin to walk as he did on the face of the earth today. I'm looking forward to that day when it's like that. Not only me, but I look forward to the fellowship of the brethren in truth, when we're all in the kingdom and we say, okay, let's go into China and wreak havoc on the government. Let's turn up in all the departments and preach the gospel. When they try to shoot us, we can go, shoot me. Boy, I can't see the holes. See, these are the things, you know, translocation is an amazing thing. It's been going on for about 15 years with me now. It's awesome when God kind of picks you up and puts you somewhere else and you do stuff and come back. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. I'll just leave you with that thought, a real deep one. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word and your kingdom that is a kingdom of light. Father, I thank you for that light, that your desire is we would become that light on the earth, that we would become reflections of the true light of who you are. And as you live in us, that light would shine out of us, that we would become beings of light as Adam was before the fall. Father, your design, your son, was to take us back to how it was before the fall, that we would walk in fellowship with you in a kingdom of light, that we would never die, but we would experience the resurrection and live in that power of your light. Father, today we set our desire to live like you, Jesus, to live in the light you gave us, the door. Jesus, you are the door that opens the realm of light to us. And Lord, the only way to come to the light is through you. And we acknowledge that, Lord, there's no way but through you, Jesus, into that light. You are the divine light, the vibration that created an atmosphere that I could step through in this arena and live in the light of your kingdom. Father, we desire that light. And Father, today I bless these people with the knowledge of that light, the knowledge of the light of God that is inside of them, the capacity to become children of light, to walk in the light, even as he is in the light, in the kingdom realms of heaven. Father, I ask you to release that around them in the name of Jesus. That, Father, you chase them. And Lord, you chase them the same way as you chase me. It's the way I think. Father, you chase that devil right out of their brain. Make them live in the reality of being out of phase with this reality. Live in a true kingdom reality. Father, we look forward to that day. We press on to that prize of the mark of the high calling. That we would be in that first resurrection, the children of light standing, able to do what you did, Jesus, looking like you did on the mountain of transfiguration, able to talk and walk in a different kingdom. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you that you made a way. You came to be our guiding light, to be our teacher, to be our mentor, to teach us and guide us into the reality of who we are. Father, as your children receive from you today revelation, Father, enable us to eat the scroll. Eat the scroll of the revelation of the light that was creative, that we might come out of phase with created light and live in phase with creative light. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.